a dispensational Bible church where we study the whole Bible, Bible's all way, and we're excited that we have another day of grace, another week of grace, and we're excited that you are here with us today, and those that are listening through our internet ministry, we thank you for tuning in, and we love to hear from you, whether it's through email, text, or phone call, or show up in person. We have some great saints here that would just love to see you and all. We had some prayer requests and praise items and our corporate understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. But we got the Red Book open and we had a request for this song today, song number 498, When We All Get to Heaven. We'll sing all verses, all four of them, When We All Get to Heaven. Thessalonians chapter 1 and get Ezekiel chapter 36 and get Ezekiel chapter, we'll get there, but we left off with the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in the last lesson. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we'll get you a passage in a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and we was working on some things about paying attention to details. OK, Okay, we're in that part of the dispensational truths, the fundamentals of dispensational. We do thank Grace School of Bible for the curriculum. We thank the having the Word of God in the King James Bible for the authorized version for the English-speaking people to know that we have in our possession today, you have the Word of God. Amen. You don't have to worry about this and worry about that. All these other versions out there, many of them call them perversions. You know, do they contain the Word of God? Yes, they do. But do they have the inherited, infallible Word of God? I would say nay. So the thing is, you got to pay attention to detail. And one of the things that we looked at last lesson is to remove any difficulty and avoid problems with a passage. That's what we looked at last week. The second reason is to reveal truth. That's what you want. You want to reveal truth in these words as we look at them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his dear son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now this verse says we're waiting for his son from where? Heaven. And did you know what the hope of the believer is? We touched on it right before we left. The catching away, the rapture. What is the hope? The hope that we're not going to go through that wrath period over. What would benefit you and I to be saved today and to go through that tribulation period? Are you not going through some tribulation periods in your life right now?
Yeah.
Do you know God does not save you from the wrath of man? You know that, don't you?
From the wrath to come.
He saves you from the wrath of God and the wrath of the Antichrist and the wrath to come. Okay? Man can put a lot of things on you. You know that. Mm-hmm. Nothing surprises me anymore, guys and gals. Nothing surprises me. And I think you know what I'm talking about. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to people learning the Bible, when it comes to even Christians today can upset you, can it not? Mm-hmm. They can, very much so. So I'm not waiting to die. The verse says does not say that I'm waiting on death. It does not say that I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Did not Jesus Christ in the Pentecost in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 say wait on the Holy Spirit to comfort you? You're not waiting on the Holy Spirit to comfort you. If you're saved today, God, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit Jesus rose himself from the dead, that same Spirit that wrote this book is living inside of you and I.
Amen.
Sealed.
Yes. Yeah. So what are you waiting on? You can't be waiting on that. Are you waiting on blessings? Are you waiting on... We can make a list of things. I'm waiting on God to do this, this, this. You can wait till you take your dirt bath. Okay? And it still may not come. You already have all that stuff in the present possession right now. It says for God's Son from heaven. So we are waiting on the great event that we call the catching away. In other words, it's called the
rapture.
And that is something that was not prophesied. This rapture is not prophesied in times past or ages to come. Are they a catching away in those books?
Yes.
Are they a pre-trib rapture? That's what we believe. There's a mid-trib rapture, and there's a post-trib rapture. Okay? We believe in a pre-trib rapture that was given to Apostle Paul. And so we're waiting on that. We're not waiting for the Antichrist. Now, I know many of your friends and neighbors and TV evangelists, stuff like that, they want that guy to come. They think by that guy coming that God's going to set up his kingdom and all that stuff. You know, so you're not waiting on the Antichrist. Why would you wait on somebody like that?
Oh,
you know, that's just, no. So the great verse to show you that you will not be around when the Antichrist shows up. That's good news.
Yes.
You know, we was talking about the organ recital we had this morning, the bones aching and the shoulders and the hearts and the bladders and the headaches and all that stuff. Listen, we're going to get a new body. We don't have to wait on the Antichrist to show up because it's not going to be good. And we're waiting on the Antichrist because you are waiting on... You're not waiting on God to fulfill prophecy, guys. Prophecy has been postponed. The kingdom has been postponed. You're in a dispensation of grace. So we are waiting on the next thing in God's order, and that is his son from heaven to come. Now, there's times that you want to be very careful in noticing about timing. And you always have to watch for time marks. How many of you have been to Gettysburg Battlefield? Okay. How many of you stood on the side that Lee was and saw them march? I know you didn't visually see them, but they walked and marched a mile across that field. And then the Union soldiers, Federal soldiers, had their mark there. And there's a place inside of that Union section. It's called a high water mark. And you think, you know what a high water mark is? Mm-hmm. Where water raised up so far and it stopped, right? If you look going down the Ohio River, the Mississippi River, these bridges has marks on them, okay? And there's a mark there that keeps you in line that if that mark hits that point right there, then there's something going to happen. So anyway, that high water mark, there was a Confederate, I think he was a colonel or general, made it that far. He was just not even feet from those cannons. So that's a high water mark. In the Bible, you have marks that you need to watch for, time marks. You know what I do for a living? I use mile markers, okay? I use different markers to show me where I'm going, show where I've been. Where we live in Cambridge on the Route 40 is known as the National Highway. The markers that they have every 2 miles is a very unique marker because one, it shows you Cumberland, Maryland, and it tells you how far Cumberland, Maryland is. Then on one side of it, it shows you the next big town. Then it shows you next little towns. So that will tell you where you're at. If you came down that road, if you was walking and you got to that mile marker, you would say, this is a time mark. This is marked that I got 2 more miles to Cambridge. Or I got 2 more miles to old Washington. Ezekiel chapter 36. Every time God uses a time mark, it is important. And it's very, very important. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is some of the ways that when you use your Bible, you use it the right way, you rightly divide the word of truth, you know how to handle the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel is known as what? A major prophet, okay? And they took his word to be law, basically. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statute, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, that's a wonderful promise that God gave somebody, right? Mm-hmm. How many of you are holding on to that promise today? That's a great promise. Mm-hmm. Okay? It does sound great, don't it?
Yeah.
But notice that verse 25 tells you when it's going to take place. Then will I sprinkle clean water. We're in Ezekiel chapter 36. Then will I... So when will God do that? It will be after what he just told them, starting with verses 16 through 24. You with me? Then. So he's told them something from verse 16 to verse 24 that is very, very important to a certain group of people. Just look at verse 24, what it will tell you. Verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. What is that speaking of?
Israel.
Yeah, it's the
promised land.
It speaks of a restoration to Israel in her land. Has that happened yet?
No.
All 1948, it happened.
No.
Who put Israel in? Who created Israel in the land in 1948?
It's men.
The United Nations.
Truman.
What president was that?
It was Truman.
Harry Truman.
But where was God at?
Same place he's always been.
So think about this for a minute. Notice the time mark. Then will I, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That will help you understand the passage has to do with Israel's future. See, he said it back over here. But he has not done it. And that's why people fail to rightly divide the word truth, fail to see what the difference between prophecy and mystery will say it already happened. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have been to New York City? I mean, do you understand that, you probably understand that that there's more Jewish people in New York City than there is in the land of Israel? So if this happened, had already happened, who made God a liar? That's what I look at. Look at this a minute. It has nothing to do with the dispensation of grace of God or the body of Christ. It deals with Israel, that they be brought back into their land. That's their promise. It ain't got nothing to do with you and I. Once again, had God ever made you a covenant?
No.
That steps on a lot of people's feet right there, or tailcoats when they're running out the door. You know, you say, whoa, wait a minute. God's never made a covenant with you and I. We was a bunch of Gentiles, nations. Mark chapter 16. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. We're looking at time marks in the Bible, and you better understand where they're at and what they are. And there's hundreds of them, but we're just going to hit a few. Mark 16, verse 21.
There are 21 verses in mine now.
Oh, sorry. It's Matthew 16.
We're going to Matthew. Thank you.
What version?
That's Ed's version.
Right. Are we going to Matthew?
Matthew,
not 16. Mark. Sorry. Thank you. Mark 16.
Matthew.
Oh, excuse me. I just changed that, so let's say it again. Mark 16.
Mark, where's
that? Oh, woe is me.
Focus.
Where are we at, guys?
Matthew 16.
It starts with what? What's the first three letters?
M-A-T.
No, not Matthew, with the verse. 16:21. From that time forward, began Jesus to show his, to us, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Can you get any clearer than that? From that time forth began. So I want to call it mile marker, but there's a scripture marker there that something's going to change or something's going to happen.
Right.
From here on, he begins to do something. That tells you that from that point backwards, he did not do what he's beginning to do now. That is why Peter, what Peter says in verse 22, Peter had never heard before Jesus was to go to the cross. It was all new to him. That's the first time he heard that. Now, I always like to show people from hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
He does not change that message for From that point right there, he begins to teach the same thing John the Baptist taught. All the way over to where you were at in Matthew 16, 21, that was the message. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? Now he realized he did what he's supposed to do, and then he's going to show them something different. So that's a good time mark. Go to Matthew chapter 24. There is 24 chapters in Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Because a lot of people will tell you that Jesus Christ, from the time he came out of that manger, the time he was on a cross, he preached one thing. That makes it easy for everybody to say, you know, he's God, he's Jesus, and he's Lord, and that type of thing. But he did. And what strikes me is, when God sent John the Baptist, God sent his Son. God sent his Holy Spirit. And every one of them taught the same thing within that kingdom promise. Within that, the kingdom was at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was never offered to them until you get over here in the first seven chapters of Acts. Now, is it still offered today in the dispensation of grace?
No.
That kingdom that he's going to set up over here is postponed. And when you get over here in the books of Hebrews through Revelation, it's going to be established. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29.
There's not 20.
Yeah, there's 20.
Not bad.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, when is verse 29 and 30 going to take place?
Immediately after the tribulation.
You see that, don't you? Not before, not during, when?
Immediately.
Not 7 years, not 2,000 years, immediately after the Great Tribulation. And there's any time between, is there any time between the end of the 70th week, week and the second advent of Jesus of Christ? So what does the verse say about it? What does the first words in verse 29 say?
Immediately.
We got to remember that stuff. When somebody's at your doorstep and they're going to say, hey, you're going to go through the tribulation and blah, 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 and you got to wait for Jesus Christ comes back, you know, it says immediately. In verse 15 to 27, I'm not going to read those. That tribulation is the first half of the 70th week. And as soon as the 70th week is over, what will happen?
The second
coming of Jesus Christ comes back. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He sends his angels, gathers the saints, and returns to the earth in judgment. That verse will tell you there is interval between the end of the 70th week and the coming of Jesus Christ. The words tell you that, right? Me and you might see all kinds of stuff in that verse, but the words tell you that. Now look at verse 31 for a second. Verse 31. Let me tell you this. That verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's Joel chapter 2, verse 31. Mm-hmm. Chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. That's Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9.
Prophecy.
This is prophecy. It ain't something that was just mystery that popped up on the scene. They know what's coming. They know the tribulation's coming. If you know something's coming, would you not try to avoid it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, death's coming. Death's coming. How do you avoid that? You trust in a gospel that saves you today, right? And you got your hope in it. Isn't that much better than, oh, woe, miserable me. Hell's coming. Hell's coming. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to another. He sends his what?
Angels.
It's different from the Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, where Paul, through the catching away, the event of a mystery program, he says the Lord himself shall descend. In this program, the Lord sends his angels down here. Why would he send his angels? What does it say right there? Shall gather. Hang on a minute. Look at verse 31. And they shall gather. You see that right there?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Isaiah chapter 27 right quick. Isaiah chapter 27. Who's he going to gather there? Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river into the stream of Egypt. And ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Massillon. All you children of the body of Christ. Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to be perished in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at where?
Jerusalem.
So who's he going to gather there?
Children of Israel.
The saved elect of Israel. Chapter 26, verse 20. Isaiah 26, 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself as if it were for a moment, for a little moment, until indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to perish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her stain. So he's saving that group. He's gathering that group of elect, those believers, for that. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Verse 14.
What chapter?
9.
Verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. Thou shalt also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given thee, saith the Lord thy God. You know what, Lord, you know what God the Father's doing right there? He's planting a seed in that land of Israel. And they're not coming, they're not going to be plucked up anymore. So that's very, very significant in those mile markers. Go to Romans chapter 12. You say, well, Paul, well, you know, that's Paul uses markers too, time markers, in the book of Romans, for instance. Romans chapter 12. chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And any time you see that word therefore, you should ask yourself a question, right?
What's it there for?
There you go. What is it there for? And therefore always points you back to what had just been said previously. On the basis of what he'd just been taught in chapters 1 through 11, about the mercies and the goodness of God to us through Calvary, he says, do this. Look at chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The word therefore is in this verse can eliminate confusion in chapter 8, verse 1. If you pay no attention to the word therefore in the verse, you're not going to have a proper understanding of that verse. And what I'm going to share with you, many of you have been down this road, and I hope you're not still down this road, but you know people are. There's a constant confusion of lots of people in Romans chapter 8 uses this reference verse as a subject of eternal security for the believer. And as soon as you use it that way, you have denied the word of God somehow. You can't use, and what I'm going to share with you, it's not an eternal security verse. You either have to leave it out, the last 10 words of that passage, or teach it that you can lose your salvation. Both of the ways they deny the word of God. And how many times have you heard somebody say Romans chapter 8 is great security verses? You begin with no condemnation and end with no separation, chapter 8. And that all sounds wonderful, don't it? But that's not what it's talking about there. And the reason that the people do not understand Romans 8 has nothing to do with eternal security. I've used it before. The cross reference that a lot of people use is John chapter 5, verse 24. And it says this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. That's not the correct reference for Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Dispensationally, you can know it's the wrong cross verse. We didn't look at that before. You've got to understand that word of God rightly divided and understand who it's written to. And you don't take truth from a past dispensation and put it into the present dispensation. We went all through that a couple lessons ago. That's not the right cross reference. Rightly dividing the word of truth tells you John 5 does not belong in Romans chapter, with Romans at all. What do they want to do when you first get saved?
Read the book of John.
They tell you to read the book of John. There's Bibles out there. In fact, you can go through paper where I get my Bible, and you can get a New Testament, just John and Romans together. Romans is in a but now, or in the dispensation of grace, and you've got to let Romans chapter 8, verse 1 stand on its own. So what's the subject there? Look at that. There is therefore no condemnation.
Now
no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Based upon what Paul had just been talking about, you have to look in the context of the preceding verses. Go to chapter 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, it's there for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, With a mind, I may myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Then he goes, there is therefore. You with me? Because with my mind, I walk in the spirit, and with the flesh, I walk in the flesh. There is therefore no condemnation. The verse, there is condemnation in verse 24. And if you get rid of that wretched man treadmill, the way you do that is walking in the spirit, not in the flesh. My wife reminds me constantly sometime, you're walking in the flesh, Ed. You're thinking in the flesh, Ed. And you know what I look at her and say? You're right. You're right. You're right.
No,
you know what I'm talking about? If I'm walking in the flesh, yeah. There's going to be condemnation.
Sure.
But if I'm walking in the spirit, is there going to be condemnation? Now, you may condemn me for walking in the spirit. I may not understand that because you might be in the flesh. But the thing is, the way to do that is walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. So the issue in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is my service, my conduct. What am I doing? My walk as a believer in time. See, that's what I'm going to. Am I going to be condemned walking in a flesh, or am I going to be condemned walking in a thing? There's no condemnation. So the issue has nothing to do with eternal security, because we know that in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And that takes you right back to chapter 7, verse 25, where he says, what does he say? I thank God that through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind of myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of what?
Sin.
The therefores are important. And always pay attention to that kind of words when you're studying the passage to be sure of the context left together. Listen, context, context, context. In any passage that you read, okay, don't pick and choose out of it. So, where's the condemnation at now?
Can you read that literally too?
Well, yes, you take literally. Go to chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because I'm not condemned if I'm walking in the spirit. But I can condemn myself if I'm walking in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Right? And God saved me from all that stuff. He nailed it to his cross. Mm-hmm. So the only one condemns each other is himself. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's inside of you. And he's telling you, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And you're like, but it feels good. You know, I want to do it. He says, okay, go ahead and do it. But there's consequences. Our body's made up for wonderful things, and we know when our body starts out. So you ever hear that saying, listen to your body? Listen to your body. I told you guys, I shared with you guys about my knee. I thought I tore some muscles in it because I'm active. And it turned out it wasn't muscles. It turns out that some arthritis is setting up in that bone structure, right? Now, I'm ignorant of a lot of stuff, so I ask 1,001 questions. So I ended up taking that cortisone shot. I felt like a 20-year-old man. Mm-hmm. I was invincible. And I was pounding. I was doing everything I was doing, a CrossFit working, blah, blah, blah. And it's my clutch knees, if you know what I'm talking about. 30-some years of mashing clutches and stuff. People said, oh, Ed, CrossFit's what done at CrossFit. CrossFit didn't do it. CrossFit showed me my weaknesses. I could mask it over the years. But anyway, long story short, when that wore off, it was 3 times as painful before. And I was aching. I was, it was like you took a ball peen hammer and just kept, with a chisel, just bam, bam. So it goes back to tell me, I call the doctor and they want to do physical therapy before they do an MRI. So I'm thinking, does he want to go to Mediterranean next year? Or does he want to, go skiing in the Alpine, that type of thing? That's how I look at it. I'm sorry. Well, I go to the gym, that's therapy. The gym that I go to is therapy on your stuff. So what I have to do is make my mind mindful of, I need to take care of this. There's an issue here. So what did I do? I started looking at some different vitamins. And that type of thing. And what I do, I can't jump the way I can jump no more. So I can step up. Because what's resonating in my mind is that doctor said, don't stop doing what you're doing. You have to stay mobile. Many of us get those issues and you're sitting there in pain and it's growing and growing. If you work it, and I told you I got a TENS unit. Never used one before in my life. And I put those little patches and I charged that battery thing up and I'm going, hitting that positive, and I'm like, well, this thing's feeling pretty good. I jacked that thing up and my muscles went boom. I'm like, whoa, it's getting shocked. But you know what's helped it out? Ice, and we're still moving. You know, it's a little sore.
And no more running.
But no more running. I didn't run the Friday. I rode instead of run. But I kind of watched my pounding. And one of the guys says, Ed, you had a good run. You know what I mean? You had your life's taken. I'm like, I'm not giving up. If I give up, I'm not going to do it. So therefore, there's no condemnation in this knee if I do the right thing. Same as your body. Your body is made to take care of itself. And you're never too old to do the right thing, right?
Right.
How many know who Michael Irvin was or is?
Basketball player.
He's a football player.
Football.
He got busted for doing something when he played Cowboys. And I think if I'm correct, he says, I was trying to do the right thing the wrong way. That was his quote. I'm thinking, many of us do that. Many of us try to do the right thing the wrong way. So when you come to the Word of God, you want to do the right way, the right way. And you stay in the right way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I didn't mean to chase that rabbit down that hole. But there are other words. 2 Timothy, the word therefore is also very interesting. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Need to get there. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Wherefore do I charge thee? Look at chapter 3, verse 16. Go back right there to chapter 3, verse 16. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Because all that is in chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, I charge you to preach the word. And the basis of the charge to preach the word is in the fact that you have the word. With me? You have it, therefore you preach it. You teach doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction with all longsuffering. That's very, very important, therefore. You have it, the word. You preach the word. That's all of us. I can't see the clock no more. I might have to move that clock back there. Okay. We got some more to go, but I tell you what, let's end there let's look at something right quick. Notice that the Bible often has the same names. There are four different people in the New Testament called John. You have John the Baptist, you have John the Apostle, you have John Mark in the book of Acts. And you have another John in Acts chapter 4, verse 6. Now, I've been ignorant on a lot of things in the Bible. But have any of y'all ever thought about the book of John? You thought John the Baptist wrote the book of John in any time in your early things?
Sure.
You know, John's John, but it's not. John the Baptist got his, he was Jewish. He got his head cut off and never spent one day in the day of grace. But everybody wants to tell you to do what John the Baptist did. Repent, be baptized. Do you know who Simeon was? Or Simon? You know who Simon was?
Simon Peter.
You know how many Simons is in the New Testament? I'm gonna tell you who they are in a minute. There are a lot of people in the New Testament called Simon. And if you got your concordance, you can look it up and find every one of them. But you need to keep them straight. You have Simon Peter, don't you? You know who he was? He's known as St. Peter, also known as Peter the Apostle, Cephas, Simon Barjona, the son of Judas. Okay, that's one. You got Simon the Zealot. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. You got Simon in the Gospel of Luke, who blessed the baby Jesus. You have Simon the Leper. You have Simon the Pharisee, the Simon the Cretan, Simon Marcus, Simon the Sorcerer. Simon Iscariot was the father of Judas Iscariot. Simon the Tanner, Simon Niger, Simon, son of Jacob, or Simeon, that the same as Simon. You have all those Simons in the Bible, and you better know which one they are. Because I was, you know, you ever heard about Peter never being in Rome?
Yeah.
Never separate. I believe that. But there was a Simon Peter who showed up in Rome. There was a Simon in Rome. And they believe he's the one that started this fake church over there. So you better know who those Simons are. Same as Herod. There's seven different Herods in the New Testament. You need to be careful of that, because there was one that was in charge when Jesus was born. And one showed up with John the Baptist. Sometimes you there's more than one name. For example, Timothy is called who?
Timotheus.
Silas is Silvanus, and Thomas is Didymus. And then there's places. Places are different. You have Antioch in the book of Acts. Church of the Antioch was where Paul was at in Acts 11 and 13, and Paul Barnabas preached out of that. The first sermon he preaches is in a little town of Antioch, but it's not the same Antioch that the body of Christ got started there. I may mention something about it. Somebody made a comment on our dispensational page. If y'all have Facebook or anything, or know can get to it, you should maybe visit our page every once in a while, because there's some people that ask us some strange questions on there. And one of them was like talking about, it's sad that the Bibles wasn't taken to Andrea, Egypt,
Alexandria,
because of Rome. You know, when Rome burnt, there's really nothing there to have the documents. I'm thinking, I told him, I said, the world gets their views out of Alexandria.
Yeah.
I said, I thank my God that the church, the body of Christ, was started not there, but in the Antioch. So, people out there has got some strange philosophy, which many of you know what they are. But these types of details, we need to pay close attention to. And so the next time we get together, next week, next lesson, we'll pay attention to, this is one of my big favorites, and I'm really going to need your help. Definitions and grammar. You know, I'm starting to realize that a lot of people don't understand what I'm saying.
You better postpone it, because the principal won't be here.
But he had to tune in. But the thing is you know what Alexis is?
Alexa.
Yeah.
And Siri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We have Alexa in the house. And you know that song, Michael rowed the boat ashore, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them in there, I said, Alexa, play Michael rowed the boat ashore. And
now
Siri's trying to talk to me. But the thing is she picked it up right there. So that's a good song, you know. It's a
around.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Around.
Around, like row, row, row your boat.
Well, it's a Michael, row your boat ashore, hallelujah.
Go ahead.
It's coming across into the glory land, crossing Jordan and stuff like that. And Michael's got the gospel, you know, that type of thing. Well, you can go home, let's do it. But so I went in the kitchen, I said, Alexa, play. I wanted to hear again because I was fixing me peanut butter sandwich for breakfast this morning. And I'm like, Michael, play Michael Rose and Boat Ashore. Show your boat ashore. Michael, and it went through all kinds of stuff. It couldn't figure. So I'm thinking my speech is not proper grammar for certain people. Even that machine, you got to talk to the right way or it's going to give you all kinds of stuff. But anyway, y'all pray for me on that. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, thank you for tuning in. You guys just need to come and visit us. We just have a joyous time being who we are in Christ Jesus. But we do thank you for tuning in. Until next time.